This episode of Navel Gazing is sponsored by ValleyGivesBack.org. Adding a Valley charity to your estate plan creates a lasting legacy that tells future generations what causes matter to you. Your action will inspire others to follow your lead and make a difference. With a plan gift, you have the power to impact the Valley community forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Learn more at ValleyGivesBack.org, an initiative of the Valley Community Foundation. Plan now, give later, and impact tomorrow at ValleyGivesBack.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. For the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur.
Hey everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indies podcast. My name is Eugene Driscoll, and I'm joined by Valley Indie reporter Ethan Fry. Hello, Ethan.
Hello.
Yeah, you gotta yell. We're recording this on my laptop. We just interviewed, and you'll hear it in a few minutes, Christopher Bowen of the Seymour Economic Development Commission. We get into a big argument with him about freedom of the press and enemy of the state and all that sort of good stuff. But I wanted to first quickly point out, we're recording this on Monday, August 20th. On Tuesday, August 21st, there's a public hearing in front of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission concerning the hops company over on Sodom Lane. I didn't get a chance today to write up a preview of the story, and I was unable to get in to Derby City Hall to look at the documents because the building inspector didn't get back to me. I sent them 4 emails to try to set something up. But anyway, the hops company is one of the most popular bars in the Valley. It's been recognized for its awesomeness by, I guess, Connecticut Magazine and whoever else gives out those type of awards. Mm-hmm. There's a catch-22 happening if you live near the hops company, according to what I've read, heard at various public meetings in Derby. They got parking issues. Their parking sort of – the overflow parking they have, it's surrounded by residential homes on 3 sides. We're talking about behind the former Walmart, which is being redeveloped into a Big Y. So there is some friction. I sent an email to the Derby Police Department asking for, you know, how often you get sent there for parking complaints. And I think they had maybe 3. I should have it right in front of me. They've had a few complaints going back to February. So the hops company tomorrow night, Tuesday in Derby, through their attorney Dominic Thomas, is proposing a zone change, essentially, that will allow the hops company, which is a pre-existing non-conforming use, to make some changes to their property to expand their parking, to take down some old buildings, because this is a former catering facility wedding venue, to sort of modernize their property and hopefully alleviate some of the parking problems. But there is tension among at least 2 people who live in the neighborhood that this is only going to exacerbate the problem. And the bigger picture here is when you buy a pre-existing non-conforming use, it means that if you tried to do that use today in 2018 and on that property, you would not be allowed to do it because you've been now surrounded by residential homes and it doesn't fit in with a residential neighborhood. So Dominic Thomas is doing this like he does in Shelton, which they're sort of famous for, these sort of specific uses that give some wiggle room to those types of properties in Derby. So 7 p.m. Tuesday, you can weigh in on it. Maybe in this podcast, in the text on valleyindy.org, I'll throw in some draft information from previous meetings, some draft like language about this thing that's going on. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I think it's important because, you know, Hops Company is a sort of important company now in town, and there has been this tension a little bit bubbling under the surface. And you know, I know people have been going out to meetings. There have been some anonymous flyers sort of attacking what's happening, but you know, if you want to get it on the record, on the up and up, show up tonight, 7 p.m., Derby City Hall, and talk about love or hate what the Hops Company is planning to do. Oh, I'm out of breath. I'm parched.
That's the former Grassy Hill?
Grassy Hill Lodge, yeah.
And the Hops Company owns it now? The property, or?
Yeah, that's theirs. As far as I know, I mean, they bought it outright, I believe.
Because that, like you talk about Shelton, it's like that's... It's like certainly not a community that lacks development, but just in Derby, it seems that they're desperate to have any business come in and be successful. So it's interesting to hear about that sort of tension where you have a company that's successful, but too successful almost, it sounds like, for the neighbor's liking. So.
Yeah, and when I reported in previous places outside Connecticut, pre-existing non-conforming use was always a big deal.
Yeah.
In that was sacred. It meant in like New York, Westchester County, which is a different place. But if you had a pre-existing non-conforming use there and you drop dead.
Yeah. Once it changes.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's done. That now becomes whatever the current zoning is, which was usually, residential single family houses on 5 acres. You know, there would be no Roseland where I was. It's all pre-existing. Right. So, but here there is a philosophy to give more leeway because the cities are broke and economically distressed. Now, that being said, you feel for the neighbors. If there is I have my house here on Hawthorne Avenue in Derby, and I'm glad, there's not a strip club next door. That would be inconvenient for me.
Or a tractor trailer.
Staging ground.
Lot.
Yeah, that's gotten easier. I have no problems with anybody in Derby. But anyway, that's the Derby P&Z. That's the long and the short of it. And moving on, here's our argument with Chris Bowen of Seymour.
Hi, this is Eugene Driscoll, most likely interrupting myself to bring you a message from our sponsor, ValleyGivesBack.org. Adding a Valley charity to your estate plan creates a lasting legacy that tells future generations what causes mattered to you. Your action will inspire others to follow your lead and make a difference. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley community forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Learn more at valleygivesback.org, an initiative of the Valley Community Foundation. Plan now, give later, impact tomorrow at valleygivesback.org.
All right, so joining us live in my living room via my cell phone is Christopher Bowen of Seymour, Connecticut. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me as I go speeding down I-95 in Norwalk.
Oh, wait, you're moving as you record this?
We have Bluetooth.
Oh, you're on a hands-free device?
Yeah, I have Bluetooth in my car.
All right, so we wanted to talk to you for a second about how much you hate the press and think we're enemies of the state based on your cute comment you made on your Facebook page, but then did not bring it up during one of your wireside chats.
Okay.
All right, so people who are not in the know, like a week ago, the Valley Indy, along with like a billion other media outlets, newspapers, online publications, et cetera, wrote essays, editorials, explaining that, hey, we're not the enemies of the people, because President Trump has repeatedly attacked the media as being fake and et cetera, et cetera. And I just thought personally he took it a step over the line by using the phrase enemies of the people, which implies a lot of bad things. And I don't, I love my country as much as the next guy. And I was like just personally offended. But so we just wrote an essay saying like, hey, here's what the press does each and every day. Anyway, so, you pour your heart out into it. You put yourself out there. We published the essay on valleyindy.org. And then I'm looking through Facebook and I see Chris Bowen. Oh, all these editorials are cute. Cute. He used the phrase cute. But they're not going to do anything. They're not going to change any minds. And so why bother? So, Chris, what did you mean they were cute?
First off, if I ever have a press director, he will probably last a week, because if I tell him, yeah, I'm going to go on with the press on 5 minutes notice, he's either going to drink himself to death or just quit. So, number one. Two, what I meant with the cute comment was, I like things that have a tangible ending to them. So, with all the nation papers doing this together, the reason I didn't really see a benefit was because, one, the criticism, and I'm not even going to call it a criticism because it's a lot of crap, but the number one thing that people who agree that the media is, quote-unquote, anything to the people think is that it's a big conglomerate run by, like, three people that are specifically designed to hurt the president and hurt honest Americans. These people are lost who think this. There's always been accusations, media biases, YouTube, obviously, no. I mean, I got it in my own Facebook comment the other day.
But what's wrong with, I mean, what's wrong with once in a while, I mean, I've never seen something like this happen before where a bunch of newspapers and editorial writers separately and independently of one another decide to just explain to people why the media or newspapers are not an enemy of the state. What's wrong with that? And didn't the next couple of days later, the intelligence community do the same thing by denouncing President Trump's revocation of John Brennan's security clearance? I mean, the same thing happened. That wasn't cute. I mean, you got to stand for what you stand for.
See, I have seen this happen before. Years ago, my website joined the protest against the Stop Online Piracy Act, which was just a covert way of trying to get government censorship going. So while we stopped that act in name, a lot of those passages are enacted now, just in different forms. Furthermore, for years, we've had network neutrality protests. Websites, with the exception of those owned by companies that are also ISPs, generally want network neutrality. And the last one was led by Netflix, because they would be severely injured by internet policies that hold back internet flow. The way for the layman, the way network neutrality is defined is basically ISPs determining.
Wait a sec. What does this have to do with you, saying that newspapers shouldn't band together and say we're not enemies of the state?
Because they failed. And they failed because they were just the same thing. They were a banded together protest against something the government did, and guess what? It didn't do crap. The government did it anyway.
So we should just throw our hands up and just, whatever, like, it's all, like, nothing's worth doing. Then.
What do we do? Just watch, reruns of Friends on Netflix and just call it a day?
I think we need to find a more effective protest other than a couple editorials that have lost in the wind. All my anti-social editorials, all my anti-network neutrality, or pro-network neutrality editorials, they didn't do jack. So, industry's banding together for this. It doesn't really have an impact on what the government's going to do. We can't, I think, honestly, we might need to go, and I don't have a direct answer, but I think we might need to go one step farther. We might need to engage professional lobbyists. We might need to engage
professional lobbyists?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, let's go to the barricades. And I'm there with you. Let's go.
Go to the barricade sounds like a damn good idea right now.
Haven't we elected the professional lobbyists? Aren't they running the country?
Well, you kind of got to fight fire with fire here. The majority of lawmakers, and this is not just the nationwide problem, it's in the state too. The majority of lawmakers are lawyers. And a lot of that has to do with just the fact that they can kind of make your own hours. Clarence is a lawyer. A lot of the candidates are lawyers. One thing we can do is have people try to get elected from other industries that aren't law. And I think we might kind of be heading that direction with some of the people, especially on the Democratic side, who are now running for office from other walks of life. Jahana Harris in CT5 is running for U.S. House and will probably win. She's a former Teacher of the Year. We've had other teachers running. It's not just lawyers. It's Who's the science guy? Degrassi Tyson.
Freddie Blassie. Classy Freddie Blassie from the WWF.
Well, hey, you know what? Glenn Jacobs just won a mayoral election, so wrestlers are represented now. Glenn Jacobs goes by Kane.
Well, yeah, I guess my whole feeling with the cute comment was that what offended me personally was that you had hundreds and hundreds of people who were in the trenches every day doing the thankless work of daily journalism all over the United States of America and put time in to make a statement while treading or trying to ride that fence between being totally bashing the President of the United States and just sort of making their point, which is that, hey, the media matters. There's something of value in your local newspaper. And to see it just dismissed after there's no way you could have read any of them, to just say it was a cute effort, but it's no good for whatever reason, I thought it went against everything that...
From somebody who's been one of our supporters and readers for years, you know. Did that make it... cut deeper? I don't know.
It was just so dismissive, and I got into like a back and forth with some guy who met in an editorial board and I guess went to college on your Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody fancies themselves a reporter.
Yeah.
Everybody's a reporter.
Yeah.
But by the end of it...
In this day and age, everybody is a reporter, but like,
clarify,
you know...
Hold on, I want to clarify one thing.
Not because they have a BA from U Albany.
I apologize that you guys took offense. I truly am sorry that it came off as offensive to you guys.
Dismissive. That's why my goal in your little thread was to make you guys feel dismissive. Because, I mean, how do you just dismiss it as cute or something that's really sort of unparalleled? I think about there was a case, I think it was like Texas or something like that, where some mobster or some lowlife piece of garbage shot down a reporter. Do you remember this, Ethan? And all the reporters, this is like the 70s or 80s, they banded together and tracked down the guy's killer. So, I mean, to me, it's like at least we look back on history whichever way the country goes, and it doesn't seem to be heading in a direction that I'm particularly fond of. At least you can look back at this moment in time and saying that, hey, newspapers, as they're one of their last dying breaths, maybe it made no difference, but they stood up and said, you know, like the old man from Lord of the Rings, don't cross this line, this will not stand, or whatever the heck that is. They said something. They said something intelligently, passionately, and rightfully, damn it.
Okay, now here's the thing. It's not that I'm dismissing you. It's that if I want to swing my sword, I want it to fucking cut. And I know I can't swear on this.
Whoa, Jack!
Yeah, why do you gotta cut? That's my problem! Nobody adheres to ground rules anymore!
It's like,
Make podcasts great again. I don't know.
It's like Henry Hill on Stern. I wasn't offended. I come back to, you know, if it's like if it's not guaranteed success, don't do it. I just like that doesn't make sense to me.
Think about the West Side Closets, okay?
The what?
Think about the West Side Closets. Sign this petition to do this. Sign this petition to do that. Okay, unless you're signing something that has a government backing to it, nobody gives a crap about your petition. Anybody's petition. Maybe the people that sign those things on causes.org or whatever the website is, maybe they care very sincerely, but until that sincerity is put into action that legislators give a crap about, it is the time should be spent trying to actually make that difference. The people that you're trying to reach either don't know that how cutthroat of a business this really is, or don't give a crap, or just outright think that you're lying to them. And ways to make them see that, just trying to, I don't think sincerity is going to be the answer here. Maybe that's a cynical take on it, but the people that you're trying to reach, the people that you're trying to convert, are automatically assuming that you're lying to them.
Right. I mean, there is a mass stupidity in the country, but I don't think the answer is like, we all have to become politicians. Somebody's got to keep an eye on all the crooks and occasionally call them out, regardless of whether the people want to hear that.
You either do politics, or politics are done to you, or you get an advocate that does politics for you. Okay, when I get into the trenches of social politics I'm associated with, I do it with things in mind. I think to protect my family. I think to protect the people that I care about. Those are the things that I advocate for on a daily basis. You either do that, or other people will do it for you, and they might not have your best interest in mind. So when I say everybody's got to become you say, well, does that mean everybody has to become a politician? Maybe not become a politician, but you better start paying attention and starting to work in ways that these people are also working, or they're going to run over you. And that's a harsh thing to say. It really is.
But all that seems to just be an argument in favor of writing those editorials.
Yeah. Thank God for a free independent press, because we're not part of that BS, soul-crushing monopoly.
Then you probably should be trying to actively recruit activists with power to make that change. And yes, joining in solidarity with the New York Times is helpful in a sense, so maybe calling it quote-unquote cute. I won't lie, that maybe wasn't the greatest choice of words I've ever made, but I don't think, is anybody really talking about it a week later?
Well, I mean, again, then why talk about anything?
Yes,
I mean,
we are.
Yeah, we're literally talking about it a week later. You're on the phone on 995 talking about it a week later.
Okay, so we're talking about it. When I unfortunately logged on to Twitter earlier and did a news search, all I heard about was, who's the chick from...
Asia Argento.
What?
Asia Argento, daughter of Dario Argento, creator of Suspiria and a million Italian horror movies from the 70s. But that doesn't matter!
I was thinking of Rosa.
That's like 2 weeks ago. Forget that.
I haven't heard about her in a few days.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, they're still talking about it. And they're talking about the dog comment, okay? It's been completely drowned out.
What I've heard mostly today was Rudy Giuliani saying truth isn't truth and Tommy Lauren saying truth is hate speech. In this climate, it's sort of difficult to say, like, use that as the barometer. Like, what are people talking about? Because, like, every day brings a new shocking debasement of our
people.
People
are talking too much without taking a moment to think about anything. That's my problem. And there is, you know, not to sound like an elitist, because I'm not a very good reporter or journalist or writer or editor, but there are people who are thoughtfully putting words together to come out with editorials promoting free speech and the free press, and people are like, the real enemies are biased journalists. Well, how do you define that? Bias is a perception, for God's sake. And politics has become a sport. Red Sox versus Yankees, that's the problem.
That's a huge problem. It's a tremendous problem, and it's a binary sport. You're either on Team Red or Team Blue. This is why I had to join Team Blue, let's face it. I have been very honest in saying that I'm not really... I mean, I'm a fringe Democrat, let's face it. But...
Alright, there's one other thing we wanted to ask you about. I wanted to ask you about... you did a Wireside chat that Ethan and I watched last night. And what did you think of the coverage? I didn't attend the CTE Commuter Rail Council meeting at the Derby train station, but Ethan did, and he wrote a story off it. And Ethan had messaged me from the meeting, being like, "This is just commuters beating the hell out of the MTA," which I think put me in line to think like, "Oh man, this is a commuters have had enough." Because we covered one of those meetings once before where they called the rail service an outhouse on wheels. So maybe I thought the whole meeting was negative right from there and then, based on, I don't know if that influenced the way I edited the story or what, but you read Ethan's story and then I saw someone say that it was skewed negative. Was that story overly negative? Keeping in mind, it's hard to quote people who talk a lot at meetings.
Well, that's just it. I mean, what the person in question really wanted, and I will note there's something about the four people that were in that thread, including, you know, the three of us and that person who I've known for a while, we're all journalists in some way. I used to be a games journalist. She's a music journalist. So all four of us have experience in varying degrees and various elements. She also has a direct stake in the line. That's important to note, and that's very important because since she has a very direct stake in the line and her family has a very direct stake in the line, they want this to be fixed now. They need it to be fixed now. Her daughter, who's a friend of mine, got stuck for 3 hours in Bridgeport a few weeks ago because they just decided not to run the 6:30 line.
That sounds very negative.
it's very negative. What I think what she might have been going for there is they want it written in a way that maybe looks forward to a positive outcome, but your position is not to advocate for that. My position is to advocate for that, and that's why I got the good suit to do it. But from your perspective, I thought Ethan did a fantastic job of the story, because, yeah, it was 3 hours of us beating the ever-living crap out of the DOT and Metro North guys. And Ethan didn't, from a political standpoint, I wish Ethan had quoted me more, because I'd really kick the crap out of these guys. But that's just personal. From a journalistic standpoint, it was great.
All right, that's good to hear, because I wasn't sure whether... You know, Ethan's a negative guy in general. I don't know if that's influencing his story or not, but that comment sort of took me aback. But we've also done 100 stories. I mean, if you want to go...
And like, as I said in the lead, it was like, I linked to that outhouse on wheel story being like, that's not the first time people have said this. Not going to be the last, judging by the timetable.
Yeah, we're talking 10 years
but
since we've been
around.
Like,
I talked to Jim Gilday, the chairman of the council, Derby resident. And he, you know, he said, he sort of basically was like, you know, looked on the bright side and said, you know, they're going to do stuff that'll help somewhat in the short term. And then they're taking steps. It's going to take longer than we want it to, but they're taking steps to improve it in the long term too. And that was like the last third of the story as I look at it now. So, but like,
You had a headline that was like, meeting held.
No, my headline was train service to improve by 2020, maybe. All right. You know, if everything works out right.
I changed it. I did, you know, the purpose of a headline is to get people to read the story.
And the headline played off one of the comments Chris made and another person saying that, like, when service is this bad, you might as well not have service, which is whenever I go to New York or Stanford – I don't go to Derby Shelton. I just drive to Fairfield Metro.
I was amazed.
That's what everybody does.
Yeah.
People during that meeting said that that's what they do. So that's why, like, it might as well not exist.
People on our Facebook thread were like, what's the big deal? I just drive to Fairfield Metro. And it's like, we're never going to have downtowns renovated, redeveloped. All this transit-oriented development is total hogwash if you have no transportation. We've been saying that for years. So... you know, we've done 2 stories with entertaining headlines that skewed negative, but it's a negative situation. I'm sorry.
And that right there is why that person that commented on my Facebook was so concerned about this. She obviously has a stake in it, so it was, you know, her daughter can't drive to Fairfield Metro. She has to get on in Seymour.
Yeah, when you say stake, it's not like she's invested in the company doing – it's like a personal interest because she uses the train, not like a
– Yeah, everybody wants to see the improved, I thought. I don't know how to get there. But
this is critical. If that train decides – if they just decide to stop running that train, that person's in serious trouble.
Which they almost did. Within a decade, they talked about just scrapping it as budget cuts. And I think it's always – you know, they got rid of the Derby DMV. I think the thinking among...
They almost got rid of the courthouse.
Right, yeah. There's
probably will at some point.
Right.
Budget cut.
The deep state in Connecticut wants us... They don't give a crap about the valley for the most part. I mean, come on. They tried to... They were talking about shutting down the Waterbury line. Their whole take on it is no one rides it because it's an outhouse on wheels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's like a chicken and egg thing.
Yeah.
Well, gee, I wonder, especially when people that are trying to commute to work, yeah, they have better options 20 minutes away. So, I personally like the headline because, hell, I'm hopeful. Good for me. But the real key here is sustained pressure has to be, and this meeting was a good start. As noted in the media, as noted in the article, more people showed up to this meeting than like the past three or four meetings combined. There were no people at Stanford. And I noted during the meeting the commonality that the two areas that run these trains, these specific trains that we have that keep breaking down once every 7,000 miles, not a lot, are us and Upper Harlem. I wonder what the commonality there is. Maybe economically distressed areas. And my job on economic development in Seymour is to make us not economically distressed. I want to bring in those jobs. Everybody talks about, oh, I want a Trader Joe's, I want this restaurant. Bollocks to that. I don't care about bringing those things in, because those things will come if we bring in the industry and the jobs and everything else. That I want people to be able to go to work in town, go home in town, coach their kids in town, and not have to spend that time commuting on the hellhole that is I-95, especially with tolls coming down the road. I want to make Seymour the factory town that it was in the 60s and the 70s, Seymour and Ansonia, everything in the valley, the factory towns that it were in the 60s and 70s with the modern jobs. Instead of assembly line workers, coders, we have coders and call centers and all the wonderful things that we can have to create the jobs in our area so that we're not a bedroom community for Fairfield County so that I can go to Westport every goddamn day.
You talked about being a politician, and they're like, this is something I didn't really get into in the story, but you're talking about politics, so let me just ask you quickly. You were there, Backlick, Mayor Zekin's chief of staff was there.
Of Derby.
Andrew Backlick of Derby. Both candidates for the 104th District, Carol Rochelle and Joseph Yaman was there. Two state senators were there, and George Logan, the state senator from Ansonia and Derby, he spoke a couple times during the meeting, and he talked about, like, you know, he referenced the upcoming elections a couple times, and I felt like, and I didn't get into it in the story because it would like be another 10 paragraphs that I didn't have like space to, you know, to do. But I sensed like people, it was like people didn't react to that very well. And a member of the council sort of came back at Logan and was like, well, like, you raided the transportation fund. That was a legislative failure. Like, so, like, what was your take on that whole interaction?
Okay. Oh, boy, see, here's the thing. I didn't challenge it in that meeting because I didn't want to make that meeting politically partisan. I didn't feel that was what people were there for. People don't want to hear the elephant and the donkey fighting. But it's my time, so I'll address it here. I thought Logan's answer was poor because what Senator Logan wanted us to do was to engage the gubernatorial candidate to try to get leadership on the issue. 2 points about that. One, okay, 3 points. One, if you noted somebody.
No, you only get two!
I'm making three. You wanted me on short notice, it's what you got. One, as you noted, we've got, you know, they raided the transportation fund. This is why the lockbox is on the election in November, is on the ballot in November. Two, Deb Lamont did tape a video during the primary at one of the train stations when he came to the valley to talk with local DTC chair. He talked to Terry Fodlon from Ansonia. He talked to Stefan Bohuniak from Seymour, my neighbor down the road. So the gubernatorial candidates are here. And number three, most of all, I don't want to hear Senator Logan lecture us on leadership. You're a state senator. You're the damn leader. Do some leadership. It was a legislative failure that they raided the lockbox, and Senator Logan did nothing to stop it. He made no press releases, no lectures, nothing. All they talk about is what the Democrats did, the Democrats that, put that down, work together, and come up with a solution, and stop lecturing us on what we need to do to get other leaders in there. That's why we elected you to office in the first place.
Well, Well, all right. I guess it's something we'll ask him and George Cabrera about in the coming weeks and months.
All right, Chris, I'm going to let you go. I want to thank you a million times over for coming on the podcast once again and for speaking your mind and for speaking freely. We really appreciate it.
I'm sure you do. It's great for ratings. What's the Onion article? You're calling us enemy of the press and it's selling like bleeping hotcakes?
We're proud to be enemies of the state. I saw something like that.
Hey, you got me in a good mood today.
Woo! All right, see ya.
All right, guys.
Later.
All right, the one thing about Senator George Logan I want to point out, this is a podcast, an impromptu podcast, not planned out in any way. We did not know in advance that, one, Ethan, you would be asking that question, two, that... what's his name? Chris Bowen would be bashing George Logan, so we don't have a response from George Logan. That's the nature of a podcast. I just want people to know that because I took some heat a few weeks back for not anticipating something. But I mean, we could stop this podcast right now, talk to Logan, and delay the publishing of this podcast a good four or five days.
He's a public figure.
He's a public figure.
He spoke at the meeting. He was quoted.
It was at a meeting, right. Also, if you're, you know, you read this and you're offended and you want to give your side – you can always write us a letter and we will publish it. I just wanted to point that out there because people get heated with these podcasts now where it's not, you know, they say it's one-sided because the purpose of this podcast is to have one person on and get their side, essentially. Yeah, we don't really have and the like, ability to debate that much.
That's something I wanted. I just, like, I had seen him comment on it on Facebook or something, Bowen, and I just, and I like, that was a story, part of the story that I didn't flesh out fully, so. I wanted to get a perspective on it. But yeah, as I said, as this election season develops, I'm sure that'll be a topic of conversation.
Look how low your bar is. Look at that. See the difference?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a voice for newspapers.
All right. See you next time.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Change in market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the opens each day. Online clickbait, a brilliant way. It's free information here to stay. Not even hookers give it away. Advertising. Metastasizing, newsroom shrinking, constant attrition. We'll ride the dinosaur. We'll ride the dinosaur. Deadlines, bylines, pictures too. An editorial comment for a buck or two. Fire down the block, the murder next door. And now we wonder what it's all for. Social media coming free to you. Funny pages, the mayor's wages, criminal seats, corruption schemes, ink stained wretches asking tough questions. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. presses are running all through the night. We're printing the truth with all of our might. We're platform agnostics, got that interweb too. Buy an ad, see what we can do. We still have subscribers, still have our fans. We're here every day, so give us a chance and we'll make an art stand. Just hold us in your hand and we'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Dinosaur.